हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 16, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes nectar from the lips of Lord Sri Krishna. Verses 65 to 77. The Lord bestows mercy upon young Kaviraj Karnapur. 3, 16, 65 to 77. That year, Shivananda Sen brought with him his wife and youngest son, Puridas. Taking his son, Shivananda Sen went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his residence. He made his son offer respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Again and again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the boy to chant the name of Krishna, but the boy would not utter the holy name. Although Shivananda Sen tried with much endeavor to get his boy to speak Krishna's holy name, the boy would not utter it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have induced the whole world to take to the holy name of Krishna. I have induced even the trees and immovable plants to chant the holy name. But I could not induce this boy to chant the holy name of Krishna. Hearing this, Rupa Damodara Goswami began to speak. My Lord, he said, you have given him an initiation into the name of Krishna. But after receiving the mantra, he will not express it in front of everyone. This boy chants the mantra within his mind, but does not say it aloud. That is his intention, as far as I can guess. Another day, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to the boy, recite, my dear Puridas, the boy composed the following verse and expressed it before everyone. Lord Sri Krishna is just like a bluish lotus flower for the ears. He is an ornament for the eyes, a necklace of Indranila gems for the chest, and universal ornaments for the gopi damsels of Vrindavana. Let that Lord Sri Krishna, or let that Lord Sri Hari Krishna be glorified. Although the boy was only 7 years old and still had no education, he composed such a nice verse. Everyone was struck with wonder. This is the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy, which even the demigods headed by Lord Brahma cannot estimate. All the devotees remained with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continuously for 4 months. Then the Lord ordered them back to Bengal, and therefore they returned. Verses 78 to 87. Okay, it's just that section. A gatekeeper escorts Lord Chaitanya to his beloved Brajanda Nanda. As long as the devotees were in Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu maintained his external consciousness. But after their departure, his chief engagement was again the madness of ecstatic love for Krishna. Throughout the entire day and night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly relished Krishna's beauty, fragrance, and taste, as if he were touching Krishna hand to hand. One day, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to visit the temple of Lord Jagannath, the gatekeeper at the Simhadwara approached him and offered respectful obeisances. The Lord asked him, where is Krishna, my life and soul? Please show me Krishna. Saying this, he caught the doorkeeper's hand. The doorkeeper replied, The son of Maharaj Nanda is here. Please come along with me. I shall show you. Lord Chaitanya said to the doorman, you are my friend. Please show me where the Lord of my heart is. After the Lord said this, they both went to the place known as Jagamohana, where everyone views Lord Jagannath. Just see, the doorkeeper said. Here is the best of the personalities of Godhead. From here you may see the Lord to the full satisfaction of your eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed behind the huge column called the Garuda Stamba and looked upon Lord Jagannath. But as he looked, he saw that Lord Jagannath had become Lord Krishna with his flute to his mouth. In his book known as Gauranga Stubba Kalpa Vriksha, Raghunath Das has described this incident very nicely. My dear friend, the doorkeeper, where is Krishna, the Lord of my heart? Kindly show him to me quickly. These words Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed the doorkeeper like a madman. The doorkeeper grasped his hand and replied very hastily, "Come see your beloved. May that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise within my heart and thus make me mad also." Verses 88 to 151. The nectar of Krishna's lips.
He is the stamba which is now located right in front of the temple, the original location of the stamba.
That I'm not sure, but I get the idea it's inside, but at the very, very back. So where the stamba is, maybe it is, but from what I've heard is how you know is that stamba there is, from there when you view Jagannath, you can only see half of Jagannath. I think you can see Baladev and Subhadra fully, but Jagannath you can only see half.
From the one outside?
No. From the one that Lord Chaitanya would stand at.
The outside, it's called Arun Stamba. It's Arun. That we can actually approach, it's right there.
But you can see Patitpavan.
You can see only Patitpavan. And inside there's Garuda Stamba, there's another one.
Oh,
those are two different, because I was also thinking the same.
Mm.
And then we went on Parikram, Madhavananda explained.
Okay,
he said one is inside, one is outside. And then Aruna Stamba, Arun is a Stamba, isn't it?
He's the chariot.
Yes. So it's carved in a certain way. It's not round, actually. That's what I remember. But that one is outside, then we can approach, actually. And then we can view Patitpavan. But inside, I've never been, I can say.
You mean? Sure.
Yeah, there is a stamba inside. There is a place where Lord Chaitanya will watch the Lord Jagannath from. It will be around 40 meters from the stamba to Lord Jagannath. There is
40 meters?
40 meters.
Oh, that's a very long distance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is long, so you'd stay all the way.
It's like any Lord Vishnu's temple, there are doors to get inside. So there are two or three doors to get inside. And this is the outermost one.
Mm.
And almost towards the end is that stamba. Outermost one towards the end.
So this is part of the vastu design of the temple?
Yeah.
Yes.
Typical design.
Yeah, all of these old temples like that, you come in, there'll be the Garuda Stamba, and then you go in more, and then you see more.
Okay.
Verses 88 to 151, the nectar of Krishna's lips. 88 to 109. The offering of food known as Gopala Vallabha Bhoga was then given to Lord Jagannath. And artik was performed with the sound of the conch and the ringing of bells. When the artik finished, the prasadam was taken out, and the servants of Lord Jagannath came to offer some to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The servants of Lord Jagannath first garlanded Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then offered him Lord Jagannath's prasad. The prasadam was so nice that its aroma alone, to say nothing of its taste, would drive the mind mad. The prasadam was made of very palatable, valuable ingredients. Therefore, the servant wanted to feed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a portion of it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted a portion of the prasadam. Govinda took the rest and bound it in the end of his wrapper. To Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the prasadam tasted millions upon millions of times better than nectar, and thus he was fully satisfied. The hair all over his body stood on end, and incessant tears flowed from his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered, where has such a taste in this prasadam come from? Certainly it's due to his having been touched by the nectar of Krishna's lips. Understanding that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt an emotion of ecstatic love for Krishna, but upon seeing the servants of Lord Jagannath, he restrained himself. The Lord said again and again, only by great fortune may one come by a particle of the remnants of food offered to the Lord. The servants of the Jagannath temple inquired, what is the meaning of this? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, these are remnants of food that Krishna has eaten and thus turned to nectar with his lips. It surpasses heavenly nectar, and even such demigods as Lord Brahma find it difficult to obtain. Remnants left by Krishna are called phala. Anyone who attains even a small portion must be considered very fortunate. One who is only ordinarily fortunate cannot obtain such mercy. Only persons who have the full mercy of Krishna can receive such remnants. The words Sukriti refer to pious activities performed by the mercy of Krishna. One who is fortunate enough to obtain such mercy receives the remnants of the Lord's food and thus becomes glorious. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to all the servants. After seeing the next offering of food to Lord Jagannath, a function known as Upalabhog, he returned to his own quarters. After finishing his noon duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate his lunch. But he constantly remembered the remnants of Krishna's food. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his external activities, but his mind was filled with ecstatic love. With great difficulty, he tried to restrain his mind, but it would always be overwhelmed by very deep ecstasy. After finishing his evening duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with his personal associates in a secluded place and discussed the pastimes of Krishna in great jubilation. Following the indications of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda brought the prasadam of Lord Jagannath. The Lord sent some to Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then gave shares of the prasadam to Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Srut Damodar Goswami, and all the other devotees. As they tasted the uncommon sweetness and fragrance of the prasadam, everyone's mind was struck with wonder. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, these ingredients, such as sugar, camphor, black pepper, cardamom, cloves, butter, spices, and licorice, are all material. Everyone has tasted these material substances before. Srila Prabhupada, the word prakrita refers to things tasted for the sense gratification of the conditioned souls. Such things are limited by the material laws. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to make the point that material things have already been experienced by materially absorbed persons who are interested only in sense gratification. 316, 110-140. However, the Lord continued, in these ingredients there are extraordinary tastes and uncommon fragrances. Just taste them and see the difference in the experience. Apart from the taste, even the fragrance pleases the mind and makes one forget any other sweetness besides its own. Therefore, it is to be understood that the spiritual nectar of Krishna's lips has touched these ordinary ingredients and transferred to them all their spiritual qualities, a fragrance and taste that are uncommon and greatly enchanting, and that make one forget all other experiences are attributes of Krishna's lips. This prasadam has been made available only as a result of many pious activities. Now taste it with great faith and devotion. Loudly chanting the holy name of Hari, all of them tasted the prasad. As they tasted it, their minds became mad in the ecstasy of love. In ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Rai to recite some verses. Thus Ramananda Rai spoke as follows. O hero of charity, please deliver unto us the nectar of your lips. That nectar increases lusty desires for enjoyment and diminishes lamentation in the material world. Kindly give us the nectar of your lips, which are touched by your transcendentally vibrating flute. For that nectar makes all human beings forget all other attachments. Footnote 23. There's a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:31-14. Upon hearing Ramananda Rai quote this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Then he recited the following verse, which had been spoken by Srimati Radharani in great anxiety. My dear friend, the all-surpassing nectar from the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can be attained only after many, many pious activities. For the beautiful gopis of Vrindavana, then that nectar vanquishes the desire for all other tastes. Madana Mohana always choose pan that surpasses the nectar of heaven. He is certainly increasing the desires of my tongue. Footnote 24. This verse is found in Govinda Lilamrita 8:8. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed by ecstatic loving emotions. Talking like a madman, he began to explain the meaning of the two verses. My dear lover, Lord Chaitanya said in the mood of Srimati Radharani, let me describe some of the characteristics of your transcendental lips. They agitate the mind and body of everyone. They increase lusty desires for enjoyment. They destroy the burden of material happiness and lamentation, and they make one forget all material tastes. The whole world falls under their control. They vanquish shame, religion, and patience, especially in women. Indeed, they inspire madness in the minds of all women. Your lips increase the greed of the tongue and thus attract it. Considering all this, we see that the activities of your transcendental lips are always paradoxical. My dear Krishna, since you are a male, it is not very extraordinary that the attraction of your lips can disturb the minds of women. But I am ashamed to say that your impudent lips sometimes attract even your flute, which is also considered a male. It likes to drink the nectar of your lips, and thus it also forgets all other tastes. Aside from conscious living beings, even unconscious matter is sometimes made conscious by your lips. Therefore, your lips are great magicians. Paradoxically, although your flute is nothing but dry wood, your lips constantly make it drink their nectar. They create a mind and senses in the dry wooden flute and give it transcendental bliss. That flute is a very cunning male who drinks again and again the taste of another male's lips. It advertises its qualities and says to the gopis, O gopis, if you are so proud of being women, come forward and enjoy your property. The nectar of the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End quote. Thereupon the flute said angrily to me, give up your shame, fear, and religion, and come drink the lips of Krishna. On that condition, I shall give up my attachment for them. If you do not give up your shame and fear, however, I shall continuously drink the nectar of Krishna's lips. I am slightly fearful because you also have the right to drink that nectar, but as for the others, I consider them like straw. End quote. The nectar of Krishna's lips, combined with the vibration of his flute, attracts all the people of the three worlds. But if we gopis remain patient out of respect for religious principles, the flute then criticizes us. The nectar of your lips and the vibration of your flute join together to loosen our belts and induce us to give up shame and religion, even before our superiors. As if catching us by our hair, they forcibly take us away and deliver us unto you to become your maidservants. Hearing of these incidents, people laugh at us. We have thus become completely subordinate to the flute. This flute is nothing but a dry stick of bamboo, but it becomes our master and insults us in so many ways that it forces us into a predicament. What can we do but tolerate it? The mother of a thief cannot cry loudly for justice when the thief is punished. Therefore, we simply remain silent. Such is the policy of these lips. Just consider some other injustices. Everything that touches those lips, including food, drink, or betel, become just like nectar. It is then called Krishna Fela, or remnants left by Krishna. Even after much prayer, the demigods themselves cannot obtain even a small portion of the remnants of such food. Just imagine the pride of those remnants. Only a person who has acted piously for many births and has thus become a devotee can obtain the remnants of such food. The betel chewed by Krishna is priceless, and the remnants of such chewed betel from his mouth are said to be the essence of nectar. When the gopis accept these remnants, their mouth becomes his spittoons. Therefore, my dear Krishna, please give up all the tricks you have set up so expertly. Do not try to kill the life of the gopis with a vibration of your flute. Because of your joking and laughing, you are becoming responsible for the killing of women. It would be better for you to satisfy us by giving us the charity of the nectar of your lips. End quote. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking like this, his mind changed. His anger subsided, but his mental agitation increased. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, quote, this nectar from Krishna's lips is supremely difficult to obtain, but if one gets some, his life becomes successful. When a person competent to drink that nectar does not do so, that shameless person continues his life uselessly. There are persons who are unfit to drink that nectar, but who nevertheless drink it continuously, whereas some who are suitable never get it and thus die of greed. It is therefore to be understood that such an unfit person must have attained the nectar of Krishna's lips on the strength of some austerity. Again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Rai, please say something I want to hear. Understanding the situation, Ramananda Rai recited the following words of the gopis. My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom the nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore blossoming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. Srila Prabhupada. This verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.9, is part of a discussion the gopis had among themselves. As the autumn season began in Vrindavan, Lord Krishna was tending the cows and blowing on his flute. The gopis then began to praise Krishna and discuss the fortunate position of his flute. 3:16, 41-51. Upon hearing the recitation of this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became absorbed in ecstatic love, and with a greatly agitated mind, he began to explain its meaning like a madman. Some gopis said to the other gopis, just see the astonishing pastimes of Krishna, the son of Vrajendra. He will certainly marry all the gopis of Vrindavan. Therefore, the gopis know for certain that the nectar of Krishna's lips is their own property and cannot be enjoyed by anyone else. My dear gopis, fully consider how many pious activities this flute performed in his past life. We do not know what places of pilgrimage he visited, what austerities he performed, or what perfect mantra he chanted. This flute is utterly unfit because it is merely a dead bamboo stick. Moreover, it belongs to the male sex. Yet, this flute is always drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips, which surpasses nectarian sweetness of every description. Only by hoping for that nectar do the gopis continue to live. Although the nectar of Krishna's lips is the absolute property of the gopis, the flute, which is just an insignificant stick, is forcibly drinking that nectar and loudly inviting the gopis to come drink it also. Just imagine the strength of the flute's austerities and good fortune. Even great devotees drink the nectar of Krishna's lips after the flute has done so. When Krishna takes his bath in universally purifying rivers like the Jamuna and the Ganges of the celestial world, the great personalities of those rivers greedily and jubilantly drink the remnants of the nectarian juice from his lips. Aside from the rivers, the trees standing on the banks like great ascetics and engaged in welfare activities for all living entities drink the nectar of Krishna's lips by drawing water from the river with their roots. We cannot understand why they drink like that. The trees on the bank of the Jamuna and Ganges are always jubilant. They appear to be smiling with their flowers and shedding tears in the form of flowing honey. Just as the forefathers of a Vaishnava son or grandson feel transcendental bliss. The trees feel blissful because the flute is a member of their family. The gopis considered, the flute is completely unfit for this position. We want to know what kind of austerities the flute executed, so that we may also perform the same austerities. Although the flute is unfit, he is drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips. Seeing this, we qualified gopis are dying of unhappiness. Therefore, we must consider the austerities the flute underwent in his past life. While thus speaking like a madman, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became full of ecstatic emotion. In the company of his two friends, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, he sometimes danced, sometimes sang, and sometimes became unconscious in ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed his days and nights in this way. Expecting the mercy of Swarupa, Rupa, Sanatana, and Raghunath Das, and taking the lotus feet on my head, I, the most fallen Krishna Das, continue chanting the epic Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is sweeter than the nectar of transcendental bliss. Yes, sir.
First, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrated the pastime, and then Ramananda Rai spoke. So, Lord Chaitanya is taking from something is like from Jayadeva Goswami or
Bhagavatam, or any of these kind of pastimes.
And he's just remembering and narrating.
He's just discussing what are the bringing out the, you know, the different moods and everything that's there, because the verse will be saying, you know, being poetry, it'll say something, you know, very specific, and then he will take and continue on that.
Okay, and Ramananda Rai does the same.
No, he just says verses. So all those kind of, like you could say, expansions of the meaning of the verse, that was all Lord Chaitanya.
Okay.
I think, unless that one time that he said a little bit more, but I think it was that verse. No, it's because it was 10:21:9. He speaks verses. Lord Chaitanya then explains.
Now, on the transcendental platform of Rasa Tattva, the flute is a piece of bamboo. It's inert. But it has, it's touching Krishna's lips. And it is, there's no one closer than the flute, closer to Krishna than the flute. So, is this prem in Shantaras?
Yeah, it would be. Because everything's conscious.
Yes, everything is conscious.
Yeah, it would be.
But
that.
The flute is in Shantaras, right?
I mean, generally speaking, all the different, everything there that is, is that you have everything that is the, you know, moving and non-moving living entities other than humans. That's all, they're all Shanta. They all expand from Sandini potency. Because Sandini expands the forms, you know, the you know, whatever it is that you see, that's all expanded by Sandini.
Yes.
And so that gives the basis upon which then Sambit means then you're taking the various qualities and actions that can be performed that produce results. And then tasting those results, that will be the Hladini. So that's what Lord Chaitanya is doing. He's tasting those, that kind of aspect. Yes.
Though all the cows and like flute may be considered in Shanta, but generally in Goloka Vrindavan, Vrindavan, then everything is based on the higher three rasas. So because they are assisting in the pastimes of higher three, they are always counted in that rather than on the Shantas. Because whenever the description of flute comes, it's more in relation with the conjugal pastimes.
Mm.
So when cows come, it's more in relation with Vatsalya Rasa.
It means it'll always be in that context of those other three. Because there the first two rasas are in support of. Because being human pastimes, then there's always going to be all those different things going on around, you know, there's a cause for everything.
Yes.
If you're dealing with the you know, godly, that doesn't have to be other than the Lord's will. You don't have to necessarily analyze. You know, it's like Indra does the yajna, the Lord shows up on Garuda, you know, with eight arms. You know, you don't have to have specifically an explanation for that. But in here, then as pastimes, it's always going to be. And there's so many devotees. That's what also makes. Because in these others, you can do everything yourself. So without anybody, you can do the pastime. But in human, then, you know, the more the merrier. You know, you have people, and it all happens. It all works. So,
yeah.
So, Prabhu's point is that you are not going to look at it like in Vaikuntha. You have Shanta and Dasya are the rasas, and that's the prominence. So anything else is seen in the context of that. Though basically there is nothing else. But even Lakshmi is looked at as, you know, the best servant.
Yes. Okay. So that's the point.
So he's saying is that here in Braj, Shanta and Dasya are always seen in the context of taking part. You don't have a direct Shanta interaction. You don't have a direct Dasya. It's always like Dhanishta. You always think of her in context of how she's assisting Mother Yashoda and kind of interacting, you know, the go-between for the gopis and things like that, or the cows, and it's always, you know, then you know there's Nanda Baba and the cows are there, and then part of that scene, he's woken up in the morning, then he milks the cows as part of his duties, or then he takes the cows out with the cowherd boys. You know, so it's always seen in that context.
Okay, this is
clear. Does that make sense? So they're there, but it's basically, that's why Rupa Goswami is saying there's five rasas. Of that, technically, there's four.
Yes.
And of that, technically, there's three.
There's three. Yes.
You know, so Braj is about those three.
Yes.
Because then that makes the complete thing. And the others naturally assist. You know, so that's why people who are insistent on equality can never get to Braj.
Democracy has no room in Braj.
No, Nanda Baba is a king, so.
Yeah. Also in Brahma Samhita it is mentioned api priya sakhi, and the translation says the constant companion.
Mm-hmm.
So the gopis sometimes, I don't want to speculate, but that's what appears from the prayers and the description, that he's male and he's like a competitor to them. So being constant companion to Krishna, he has that touch of Sakya Ras.
May, but I wouldn't, unless it's mentioned by the Acharyas, I would tend to, he just brings out that aspect that he, it means the flute is the favorite attendant for everyone in Braj, all the rasas, that's what that then. Rupa Goswami was mentioning. So when it comes to the alambas, I mean the
Udipans,
the flute is for all the rasas.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So then he's going to be a main aspect there. Then, so it takes on different moods than that with everybody else. But the point is he's anyway a servant, so that puts ultimately into that feminine aspect. But as far as the your pastimes, because I think probably the Sanskrit word for flute is declined according to masculine rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why then they'll say it's masculine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a boat, you say it's always referred to, at least I don't know in English, as feminine. So boats are feminine.
Yeah.
You know, so they're always like that. No.
Yeah, I mean in language.
Depends on language.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
Because in Russian it's also feminine, but planets in Russian also feminine. Although in Sanskrit it's all masculine. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what?
Yeah. So it just. But I'm just saying, there's that context. Then like that, then it can be used in the pastime. The point is, they want to be close with Krishna, and so the flute has that closeness. So it's just a way to increase the taste.
bamboo considered a tree. Just before we saw trees are males,
okay.
Creepers are females.
Okay, yes, yes.
Because the creepers are always embracing the trees.
Yes. Yeah. And then, then the river is like the mother. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, in terms of music, because I know you know music, technically speaking, during the big kirtan, sometimes you got this devotee comes and he's got, his pouch and.
Pulls out a flute.
Five or six flutes, And based on the melody. So, Rupa Goswami says three sizes. Yes?
Yeah.
Venu? Three sizes. And obviously.
But it seems that three sizes, but within that, some of them there are subcategories.
Right.
Because if it's done like this, it's called by this name, it's done like that, it's that name. But like you said, three sizes.
Three sizes.
It's sub three general.
And based on the utility, what do you use them for?
Yeah. I think there's some place where it talks about, I think Rupa Goswami mentions about them, or someone's talking about them, that this particular food's more favorable for by this rasa, this one, by this one, this one.
The one he calls the cows, the one he plays for the gopis.
Yeah.
It wasn't after somebody
to sing
the
late
ones.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the late ones.
So it seems, when you picture Krishna playing the flute and we talk always about the bamboo, that all of Krishna's flutes are made of bamboo. They may not be. And I'm always thinking of, these far out silver flutes that in grand orchestra have they been. I wonder if Krishna's got one of those.
I think it's Vrindavan. It would be much more simple.
Yeah.
Like that. Because Heavenly Planets gets into all those far out kind of things like that. But I would say is that
whatever is valuable in Braj.
The point is it's there, so it would be, but it's not that it may not be something ornamented or that, but those kind of ones I think are to try to get this wider range of notes in a simple way. You have to push the keys. The other ones, it's a matter of how much you club the hole.
Yes.
You roll the finger and stuff like that, so they can get. I mean, so like you can hear is like that Hari Prasad Charanasya. They can get all the different kinds of things out of it.
And he can go through every possible octave.
Yeah. So you can do that. So it's not necessary, but it's just that these mechanical flutes, it just makes it easier because instead of having just the X amount of holes, it has more, so they can get those tones in between.
Right.
But I'm not sure that it can play. I don't know that those ones can play where you just like the voice, that. But that you can get on the other flute because you just roll your finger.
Yes.
So that I know that it's just like that. Because the one will play very low, one will play medium, one will play high. Like that. Also the number of holes they have. Like that. So you can play more things on it. So that probably be specific what notes you want to get.
Right. And then you've got the people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the, what they call the people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the flute, the straight flute.
Like this,
instead of on the side.
Yeah.
Play straight like this.
Yeah.
With a thin beat.
That was the whistle.
Yeah.
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 That's different.
There's a text on that, Maharaj.
Hmm. Okay.
There are three kinds of flutes used by Krishna. One is called Venu, one is called Murali, and the third is called Vamshi. Venu is very small, not more than 6 inches long, with 6 holes for whistling. Murali is about 18 inches long, with a hole at the end, and 4 holes on the body of the flute. This kind of flute produces a very enchanting sound. The Vamshi flute is about 15 inches long, with 9 holes on its body. Krishna used to play on these three flutes occasionally when they were needed. Krishna has a longer vamshi which is called Mahananda or Samohini. When it is still longer, it is called Akarshini. When it is even longer, it is called Anandani. These are categories within vamshi.
Yeah. Vamshi is the 15 inch.
The nine holes, yes.
The last one. Yeah.
The Anandani flute is very pleasing to the cowherd boys and is technically named Vamshuli. These flutes were sometimes bedecked with jewels. Sometimes they were made of marble and sometimes of hollow bamboo. When the flute is made of jewels, it is called Sammohini. When made of gold, it is called Akarshini.
Wow! Where did you get that from?
This is the Nectar of Devotion 26. 26 means I don't know what is 26. I think it's chapter 26.
It's all in here. we're always like, whoa. We've been reading it since we were new bhaktas.
So. Chapter 26.
It's just a matter of how high above your head it goes.
That's right.
You know, 1 kilometer, half a kilometer, you know, like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so now it came flying and glanced off the top of your head.
Bamboo, marble,
gold,
silver, no,
jewels.
Krishna.
Next thing we see you with the flute.
Cover dress, flute, you know, buffalo horn.
Yeah.
One time, someone was giving Bhagavatam class in Vrindavan. Ayendra Prabhu was there, he was waiting for the class to finish so he can keep going with the kirtan. These are the years when he used to dress Varasam Sundar. And you know, sometimes for the breakfast they close the curtain and then they open it. So he's sitting, you know, where he does the kirtan, he listens to the class. So he's right in front of Krishna Balaram. And the pujari, I don't know who it was, he took the flute out of Krishna's hand and he put a conch. How a piece of blue that. Wow. You know, so Krishna is like this, he's at the conch. And I was listening to the class and then he goes, "What's that?"
Screaming in the middle of the class.
Screaming!
Did he go straight up over?
I couldn't move you.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember seeing the call. Big conscience.
Yeah, no, sometimes the word is a bit funny.
Another thing about the flute is in Braj, in many places, they take the flute out of Krishna's hands and they keep the flute at his feet. So when you ask, I think around Bhashana they do this, and you say, "Why do you take the flute?" You say, "As soon as he plays the flute, I mean, he's calling the gopis, means he goes. We want him to stay here. No flute playing here."
Who, Banki Bihari, they give him flute once a year. That's called flute darshan.
Right.
He plays. I think Radha Raman also says once a year.
Oh, really?
Like, I mean, you see, he has the flute, but they always just stick it in
his
arm.
Yeah, it's stuck.
Yeah,
it's an arm, or sometimes it's very elaborate, they'll put it right here.
Yeah.
That's why
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said
don't mix with different
persons. Well, that was actually to Jagadananda Pandit. Now we figured it out. That was Jagadananda. He sent the king to Vrindavan and said.
Yeah, I always thought it was Sanatana Goswami. It was Jagadananda. Unless he also said that Sanatana Goswami. No,
he said it in a different place. When
Sanatana
Goswami got into this lady with and she was going with the
Kitri.
Oh, okay. That was Madan Mohan. That's a different pastime. That wasn't Mahaprabhu's instruction to Sanatana. That was Madan Mohan who instructed Sanatana Goswami in a dream because he disturbed that pastime. But that's a different story. That has nothing to do with Mahaprabhu. But the other one we just read recently.
Yeah, Mahaprabhu.
Jagannatha. when he sent him to Vrindavan.
Yeah, because they do these things, they do these things. We do what, you know, our acharyas do. So in the, you know, he sees that he would have the flute, and so then that's what we do.
One devotee from Tirupati temple, he shared that because Lord Krishna plays flute in our ISKCON temple, then they have flute and all. He says, the Balaji comes there and then they hear the sound of dancing going on. So he's Govinda, so that's the air he plays when Krishna comes, because nowhere else Krishna is allowed to play flute. What to do?
Very rustic today.
After long reading.
Conclusion. Prasadam becomes uncommonly flavorful and delicious by touching Krishna's lips. 112 purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, these ingredients such as sugar, camphor, black pepper, cardamom, cloves, butter, spices, and licorice are all material. Everyone has tasted these material substances before. However, the Lord continued, in these ingredients there are extraordinary tastes and uncommon fragrances. Just taste them and see the difference in the experience. Apart from the taste, even the fragrance pleases the mind and makes one forget all other sweetness besides its own. Therefore, it is to be understood that the spiritual nectar of Krishna's lips has touched these ordinary ingredients and transferred them all to them all their spiritual qualities. Text 108 to 112. The word prakrita refers to things tasted for the sense gratification of the conditioned souls. Such things are limited by the material laws. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to make a point that material things have already been experienced by materially absorbed persons who are interested only in sense gratification. 108 to 109 purport. Since everyone had previously tasted these ingredients, why had they become extraordinary and spiritually delicious? This was proof that food, prasadam, becomes uncommonly flavorful and delicious by touching Krishna's lips. 112 purport. Yeah, so just taking prasad, then one can experience transcendental ecstasy. Chapter 17, The Bodily Transformations of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Adhyaya Prakashika. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following summary of the 17th chapter in his Amrita Prabaha Bhashya. Absorbed in transcendental ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went out one night without opening the doors to his room. After crossing over three walls, he fell down among some cows belonging to the district of Tailunga. Therefore he remained unconscious, assuming the aspect of a tortoise. Shloka Anusharadam 1-21. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assumes the form of the tortoise. 22-48. Four types of nectarian sounds from Sri Krishna. 49-73. Transcendental lamentation. Verses 1-21. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assumes the form of a tortoise. 317-1-21. I am simply trying to write about Lord Gaurachandra's transcendental activities and spiritual madness, which are very wonderful and uncommon. I dare to write of them only because I have heard from the mouths of those who have personally seen the Lord's activities. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Absorbed in ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted and talked like a madman day and night. In the company of Sri Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once passed half the night talking about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. As they talked of Krishna, Sri Damodar Goswami would sing songs exactly suitable for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental emotions. To complement the ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Rai would quote verses from the books of Vidyapati and Chandidas, and especially from the Gita Govinda by Jayadeva Goswami. At intervals, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also recite a verse. Then, in great lamentation, he would explain it. Right? So then those were his explanations that he's going through. Because that means the, you know, what is, how the devotees, you know, tasting them are thinking and feeling. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed half the night experiencing varieties of emotions. Finally, after making the Lord lie down on his bed, Srup Damodar and Ramananda Rai returned to their homes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant, Govinda, laid down at the door of his room, and the Lord very loudly chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all night. Suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the vibration of Krishna's flute. Then, in ecstasy, he began to depart to see Lord Krishna. All three doors were fastened as usual, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great ecstasy, nevertheless got out of the room and left the house. He went to a cowshed on the southern side of the Simhadwara, where the Lord fell down unconscious among the cows from the district of Tailanga. Meanwhile, not hearing any sounds from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda immediately sent for Srup Damodar and opened the doors. Then Srup Damodar Goswami lit a torch and went out with all the devotees to search for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After searching here and there, so there's four types of nectarian sounds. Over here it says, how he assumes the form of a tortoise, and 1 to 21 it says how he assumes the form of a tortoise. You see? Means that he used the first heading for the second group, second group also, instead of it. Because he uses that for the next one. No, so it's just that one. After searching here and there, they finally came to the cowshed near the Simhadwara. There they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lying unconscious among the cows. His arms and legs had entered the trunk of his body, exactly like those of a tortoise. His mouth was foamy. There were eruptions on his body, and tears flowed from his eyes. As the Lord lay there unconscious, his body resembled a large pumpkin. Externally, he was completely inert. But within, he felt overwhelming transcendental bliss. All the cows around the Lord were sniffing his transcendental body. When the devotees tried to check them, they refused to give up their association with the transcendental body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The devotees tried to rouse the Lord by various means, but his consciousness did not return. Therefore, they all lifted him and brought him back home. All the devotees began to chant the Hare Krishna mantra very loudly in the Lord's ears. After a considerable time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained consciousness. When he regained consciousness, his arms and legs came out of his body, and his whole body returned to normal.
Tortoise, because it's called tortoise because it's went inside.
Hmm.
Because they compared it to
a
pumpkin.
We said tortoise before, but said pumpkin because pumpkin is very nice and round, so. Because there's no arms and legs on a pumpkin. Only a head.
Also, maybe color matches, because pumpkin has that golden.
Golden color, yeah, could be. Yeah? Yeah, yeah. Verses 22 to 48, and that would be.
Then four types.
Types of nectarine sounds, okay, from Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up and then sat down again. Looking here and there, he inquired from Srup Damodar, "Where have you brought me?" After hearing the vibration of a flute, I went to Vrindavan, and there I saw that Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, was playing on his flute in the pasturing grounds. He brought Srimati Radharani to a bower by signaling with his flute. Then he entered within that bower to perform pastimes with her. I entered the bower just behind Krishna, my ears captivated by the sound of his ornaments. I saw Krishna and the gopis enjoying all kinds of pastimes or laughing and joking together. Hearing their vocal expressions enhanced the joy of my ears. Just then, all of you made a tumultuous sound and brought me back here by force. Because you brought me back here, I could no longer hear the nectarian voices of Krishna and the gopis, nor could I hear the sounds of their ornaments or the flute. In great ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sri Damodar in a faltering voice, "My ears are dying of thirst. Please recite something to quench this thirst. Let me hear it." Understanding the ecstatic emotions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Damodar in a sweet voice recited the following verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis said, "My dear Lord Krishna, where is that woman within the three worlds who would not be captivated by the rhythms of the sweet songs coming from your wondrous flute? Who would not fall down from the path of chastity in this way? Your beauty is the most sublime within the three worlds. Upon seeing your beauty, even cows, birds, animals, and trees in the forest are stunned in jubilation." Footnote 25. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-40. Upon hearing this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, overwhelmed with the ecstasy of the gopis, began to explain it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "The gopis entered the arena of the rasa dance in ecstasy. But after hearing Krishna's words of negligence and detachment, they understood that he was going to renounce them. Thus they began to chastise him in anger. 'O dear lover,' they said, 'please answer just one question. Who among all the youthful women within this universe is not attracted by the sound of your flute? When you play your flute, the vibration acts like a messenger in the form of a yogini, perfect in the art of chanting mantras. This messenger enchants all the women in the universe and attracts them to you. Then she increases their great anxiety and induces them to give up the regulative principle of obeying superiors. Finally, she forcibly brings them to you to surrender in amorous love." The vibration of your flute, accompanied by your glance, which pierces us forcibly with the arrows of lust, induces us to ignore the regulated principles of religious life. Thus we become excited by lusty desires and come to you, giving up all shame and fear. But now you are angry with us. You are finding fault with our violating religious principles and leaving our homes and husbands. And as you instruct us about religious principles, we become helpless. We know that this is a well-planned trick. You know how to make jokes that cause the complete annihilation of women. But we can understand that your real mind, words, and behaviors are different. Therefore, please give up these clever tricks. The nectarian buttermilk of your flute's vibration, this nectar of your sweet words, and the nectarian sound of your ornaments mix together to attract our ears, minds, and lives. In this way, you are killing us." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke these words in a mood of anger as he floated on waves of ecstatic love. Merged in an ocean of anxiety, he recited a verse spoken by Srimati Radharani, expressing the same emotion. Then he personally explained the verse and thus tasted the sweetness of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has a voice as deep as a cloud resounding in the sky. With the tinkling of his ornaments, he attracts the ears of the gopis. And with the sound of his flute, he attracts even the goddess of fortune and other beautiful women. That personality of Godhead known as Madan Mohan, whose joking words carry many indications and deep meanings, is increasing the lusty desires of my ears." Footnote 26. This verse is found in the Gita Govinda Lilamrita 8.5. Krishna's deep voice is more resonant than newly arrived clouds, and his sweet song defeats even the sweet voice of the cuckoo. Indeed, his song is so sweet that even one particle of its sound can inundate the entire world. Such a particle enters one's ears, one is immediately bereft of all other kinds of hearing. "My dear friend, please tell me what to do. My ears have been plundered by the qualities of Krishna's sounds. Now, however, I cannot hear his transcendental sound, and I am also dead for want of it. The tinkling of Krishna's ankle bells surpasses the songs of even the swan and crane, and the sound of his bangles puts the singing of the chataka bird to shame. Having allowed these sounds to enter the ears even once, one cannot tolerate hearing anything else. Krishna's speech is far sweeter than nectar. Each of his jubilant words is full of meaning, and when his speech mixes with his smile, which is like camphor, the resultant sound and the deep meaning of Krishna's words create various transcendental mellows. One particle of that transcendental blissful nectar is the life and soul of the ear, which is like a chakorna bird that lives in hope of tasting that nectar. Sometimes by good fortune the bird can taste it, but at other times he unfortunately cannot and therefore almost dies of thirst. The transcendental vibration of Krishna's flute disturbs the hearts of women all over the world, even if they hear it only once. Thus their fastened belts become loose, and these women become the unpaid maidservants of Krishna. Indeed, they run towards Krishna exactly like madwomen. When she hears the vibration of Krishna's flute, even the goddess of fortune comes to him, greatly hoping for his association. But nevertheless, she did not get it. When the waves of thirst for his association increase, she performs austerities, but still she cannot meet him. Only the most fortunate can hear these four nectarian sounds: Krishna's words, the tinkling of his ankle bells and bangles, his voice, and the vibration of his flute. One does not hear these sounds. His ears are as useless as small conch shells with holes. Briti, these four nectarian sounds were described in the following verses: Krishna's words, verses 33, 38, and 44 and 45. The tinkling of his ankle bells and bangles, 25, 28, 38, 40, and 43. His voice, verses 26, 28, 40, 42. And his flute, verses 23, 24, 28, 31, 34 through 36, 38, 40, and 46 through 47.
Reflection on the pumpkin.
On the pumpkin. Okay.
You think of pumpkin like this? How about butternut pumpkin?
I would expect
butternut pumpkin are like this. They're elongated.
Yeah.
But here pumpkin means the kumra. Kumra, Lal Kumra, Chal Kumra, but probably Lal Kumra would be the more. So they're more kind of round. A little flat. Not as round as the red pumpkins in the West.
Right.
It's not the zucchini.
Yeah. So good.
I retract butternut pumpkin.
Okay. Question on pumpkins. Pumpkin tattwa. Verses 49 to 73, transcendental lamentation. 49 to 54. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented in this way, agitation and ecstasy awoke in his mind, and he became very restless. Many transcendental ecstasies combined in him, including anxiety, lamentation, attention, eagerness, fear, determination, and remembrance. The aggregate of all these ecstasies once awoke a statement by Srimati Radharani in the mind of Bilvamangal Thakur, Lila Sukha. In the same ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now recited that verse. Among the strength of madness, he described its meaning, which is unknown to people in general. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Alas, what shall I do? To whom shall I speak? Let whatever I've done in hopes of meeting Krishna be finished now. Please say something auspicious, but do not speak about Krishna. Alas, Krishna is lying within my heart like Cupid. Therefore, how can I possibly give up talking of him? I cannot forget Krishna, whose smile is sweeter than sweetness itself, and who gives pleasure to my mind and eyes. Alas, my great thirst for Krishna is increasing moment by moment. Footnote 47. The statement by Srimati Radharani is quoted from the Krishna Karanamrita 42. The anxiety caused by separation from Krishna has made me impatient, and I can think of no way to meet him. Oh, my friends, you are also deranged by lamentation. Who therefore will tell me how to find him? Oh, my dear friends, how shall I find Krishna? What shall I do? Where shall I go? Where can I meet him? Because I cannot find Krishna. My life is leaving me. Suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became calm and considered his state of mind. He remembered words of Pingala, and this aroused an ecstasy that moved him to speak. Thus he explained the meaning of the verse. Srila Prabhupada, Pingala was a prostitute who said, "To hope against hope produces only misery. Utter hopelessness is the greatest happiness." Remembering this statement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became ecstatic. The story of Pingala is found in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, 8th Chapter, verses 22 to 44, as well as in the Mahabharata Shantiparva, Chapter 174. 317:55-73.
Maharaj, this story of Pingala, this particular aspect seems like it's more of a Jnana Kanda. But later, in the Krishna Sandarbha, when Aparakat past tense are described, it's mentioned by Jiva Goswami there that actually Lord Krishna is through this pastime, and even in, when Krishna himself speaks about this jnana to gopis, he's actually speaking about the aprakata pastime in with the covering of jnana kanda. Because in the aprakata pastime, there is always like, you know, they're always together with Krishna, they can never be separated. So he uses life airs and the senses to express that. In, to keep them pacified, that in the aprakat past tense you are always along with me, so that gives them hope then that they are always with Krishna rather than it's the other way in the jnana kanda scene.
Okay, I mean the aspect of that, what he's mentioning is how everything is Krishna, so they're always with Krishna, but then you're saying the acharyas then saying that he's referring to the thing of the apricot, that they're always in that way, they're always directly with Krishna, rather than just the shanta of everything reminds them of Krishna.
In the disguise of jnana kanda, then it's that is mentioned.
Yeah,
it's always direct for them.
Yeah, yes. Because see, in Braj, in the past tense, everything is there, but in this balanced place. So that aspect of the knowledge will be given at that point. Because you see, any time he has a message for the gopis, it's always that message. You know, some variety of that message. It's how he being everything, they can see him in everything, and that way they're always associating with him. And which, in that aspect, they do. But at the same time, as then he's also indicate they're always together in the opera.
So that also explains that.
Because for the Shanta Bhaktas, there's no separation. They don't feel separation. Because everything is Krishna, they're always with him. But there's no sense of possessiveness. So that's where there'll be the difference with the gopis in him. Then their possessiveness is you know, has that exclusiveness to it.
That also explains how this separation produces a higher joy, that union and separation, like two kinds of manifestation of Krishna to devotees in the aprakat pastimes. One is mantropasana, by chanting the mantras and then it's revealed and Krishna is evoked. Another is called swarasik, means according to the mode, spontaneous mode, and then they can see the Lord in that. So the gopis and all, they're already seeing, and that is called the spurti form of Lord, who's always there in Vrindavan. He doesn't leave. Even while Prakat, the Aprakat is manifest to them. The whole explanation is all about maintaining that mood, the continuity of the mood for them, rather than like they need not go and think something else to come back here. Mm. So it's consistent always.
The previous song, that it was all centered around the flute. Mm. How the flute is getting this taste. It's all about the taste, and that the flute is always getting this taste. And so then all the verses and all the explanations would be all around that aspect, different features. So that's the aspect. It's not about the mechanics of it, it's about the taste of it. So that you even, there you see is the transcendental, how it'll be about, how it'll be about is the that means the nature is always connected to Krishna. And so that nature being connected to Krishna means then they'll move on the different moods and flavors and everything. Because situations give the various moods in that. So it's not that the situation is also, it's not like the jnani that it has that intellectual mechanical. A particular situation will remind them of this or that. That will bring out that emotion, and this way then they're always with Krishna. Like you said, that aspect of the Baba. Mm.
Also, I think why Jiva Goswami, he explains the whole aprakat, and then that's where towards the end of it he describes this is the highest limit of knowledge that could be described, which I have already described to you. Mm. And he shifts to another topic after that. It's mainly maybe to, at that time, as you said, all the disciples, they are too much into that. It's Swaki or Parakiya, then how it is to understand, appreciate that it's always, they're always in union of the Lord, and it's always to bring out that aspect also.
Yeah, because the intensity will be the greatest. Because others is theirs, like the Queen's and Dorga, it's also conjugal, but because of the Swaki, who will have. Because the interaction is always about half-half, then it will only bring them to a particular level. So they never get to Mahabhava. Anubhava is the highest that the queens taste. So the gopis, then Mahabhava is a general standard, but then within there's three levels within that. So all the gopis then have that first level. Only Radharani's group tastes the second level, and only Radharani the third. So Lord Chaitanya, you see, he's explaining it from that perspective of that third. So the situation then brings up the taste directly, while we see this, there's not so much a need of an activity. Other than the simple, just the walking, the sound of the ankle bells, the moving the arms, or the smile, or like that. Well, let's say with the cowherd boys, then they'll explain the whole how he killed this demon and what he did and all that, and that will put him in that position. And then they're hearing about Krishna, you know, and the gopis. I mean, the mothers are also doing that, and to some extent, you know, the servants. So that'll be because they're centered, they're expanding from the Sandini. So Sandini means that the qualities, the actions that are there. And so that will be the main point, and then from that it'll hear. But with the Ladini, then simply just those points of where the taste is, it's coming from there. Before that, it's not necessary.
It's interesting because when you hear all those pastimes on Madhurya Ras, all it takes is one glance,
mm-hmm.
one word, one move, and the whole lila just.
Yeah, but the interesting thing that he just going back to the point that you said when you were sitting over where that bag is. That bag has taken your spot.
Represent people.
Yeah, represent. Yeah, gotta respect. Like that. He means he's taking that spot, so no one else sits in that spot. It's the holy spot. Yes, like that. Is they're going to talk about the activity, like that, and then from that, think that that's going to generate. You know, which it means not that it can't. I mean, that is a standard thing. But we're saying what it is they're focusing on is different than what you see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu focusing on. Right? He's not talking about how they're walking together and this and that and looking at the moon. And he's not talking that. He's just talking about that one point where the taste is. Mm-hmm. That's what they're tasting. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So in that way, then it's nice to talk about, but you know, they should change the name. They shouldn't call it Gopi Bhava Club. They should just call it, you know, Remembering Krishna's Pastime. Because that's not how the gopis discuss and taste. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's not where it is. It's on that because it's Ladini. Within that, you're going to have the situations. You're going to have the qualities and actions. You're going to have the essence of the taste. But the aspect will be is that they're tasting from. Means they're discussing the taste itself and its immediate, you know, which is Krishna. But that's. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Means you're setting the scene, then yes, like the introduction to Rasa, it sets the scene and all that, goes on and describes all that. So that from that it will take. And so we'll hear those and we'll be very absorbed in Krishna. Mm. But as you mentioned there, is that. Gopis themselves are just thinking of that moment. One thing like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Also in that manifestation of abracad pastimes, the first one is mantropasana. That's where you meditate on the abode and then you meditate how where Radha Krishna is placed.
Mm-hmm.
The second, third, fourth verse of Brahma Samhita explaining. That's all mantropasana example. And then Swarasiki is that spontaneous mood which you are describing now, and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is
tasting.
That is higher level.
Yes. It's not that the other one's not there, but what I'm meaning is that it's as if they're discussing the highest things, but actually it's they're not catching the ones that are. You know, it's just like you said, it's just, where did that verse come from? Because that's not the verse they're reading. Otherwise, you would have heard it a million times already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that. That it's slightly different. But it's not that, by always hearing and chanting about Krishna's pastimes, it will not bring you there. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand is then that's a part of, you're just regular sadhana. It's not that we're on rag because we're doing this. Does that make sense? And if someone's on the platform of rag, just anything about Krishna, they'll be happy to hear. So they're quite comfortable with that. Because everything's going to remind them of Krishna. Just like when Krishna's with the gopis, so many of the pastimes, then they're going to be discussing about things that Krishna's done in other leelas, means as and different avatars. And that they'll be discussing those things. So they've heard all these things. So that just reminds them of Krishna. So that's the point that Prabhupada's making, is that this idea is that we only have to listen to these particular pastimes. That's not how the gopis work. Everything will remind them of Krishna. That's what Krishna, his discussion with them.
Even sometimes when they argue with Krishna in terms of Leela, they do mention his other incarnations.
Yeah. At least they know all things. And even in these, you know, we saw in that great ecstasy, the Lord Chaitanya, Radharani is pointing out how he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you know, he is everything and all those kind of things. But her attraction to that personality, you know, is in her particular rati. So it doesn't in any way affect them, you know. The parents, it throws them off a little bit, but then they adjust with it. But you see, the gopis, it never throws them off. That's why you see is that the acharyas, they can discuss these very, very technical points of tattva and the very, very technical points of rasa. They don't have any difficulty with it because it's all connected. It's all the same thing, just so, you know, just different sides of the same. Yes, no?
Yeah. Also, like Prabhu mentioned that if we look closely to Brahma Samhita, it gives both mantra, mayupasana, and swarasiki, the verses in the Govinda Madhipurusha. Mm-hmm. It gives both. But it's interesting that only Gaudiyas can appreciate swarasiki, because even Nimbarkas, their meditation is stationary. Mm-hmm. And in their lila, they always together, which is, it's not exactly human. I mean, humans, they separate. Mm-hmm. So they have a touch of that Aishwarya, of that reverence. Then Radha and Krishna, they always together in the bower, you know, doing certain activities. This is their meditation. It's quite stationary. So this is, and it's very high. You know, mantra mayupasana, but swarasiki, nobody else. So what Prabhu is mentioning is that some people just, they're not interested or they don't know. Mm-hmm. And so this is their top meditation.
Yeah. And so we see it just keeps going. That's why with Ramananda Rai, he kept going.
Yeah.
Because where he started, that's where all Vaishnav Sampradayas function at.
Yeah.
You know, they all start from there, but then you just have to keep going. But then as you go up, you see it's different lines maybe. That's kind of like their getting off point. You know.
Also, since we already went through the Madhya Lila, which is, you know, the main preaching and conversations, it's obvious Mahaprabhu, he didn't try to convert anybody into Gaudiya Vaishnavism when he met with the, you know, with the groups of others. Mm-hmm. He just told them, no, you should follow your acharya properly. Mm-hmm. And those who followed, he appreciated, and those who didn't, he chastised them. He said, You're not following. He didn't say come to me. He just said, you know, you should follow your own line, but do it nicely.
I mean, because they are worshipping the Lord and they are going to Him, but just they're going, you know, up to a particular point.
Yeah. Also, we see in the pastime of Uddhava giving the message to Gopis, when he is giving the message, he sees that words Krishna is saying from the Jnana perspective to console them. But Krishna is actually sending that cryptic message, Jiva Goswami said, is actually sending a cryptic message which is representing the Swarasiki mood. And gopis could understand, Krishna can understand, Uddhava only understands.
Whatever
later.
No. He couldn't
catch.
Especially when the bee, when Radharani speaks to the bee.
So the whole description there is about how that is the highest, and that's what is given the aprakati lila.
Yeah, the highest is the taste.
And the most interesting of all is yesterday I was watching
cooking lunch.
I was melting butter and pouring it over potatoes.
This mind-blowing talk of Vaishashika Prabhu interviewing Rameshwar Prabhu and Dreti Mataji on the extraordinary magical production of the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Mm.
I mean, I've heard that story so many times, but it's the first time I hear it from Ramesha Prabhu himself,
mm.
with his own notes that he had never written before.
Mm.
I mean, how this thing came about is just like, it's just out of this world. And once they've published everything, Prabhupada wrote to them, he said, "My dear Ramishra and co," means all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I'm so pleased, my Guru Maharaj is so pleased. Now I just want to stay," he was in Vrindavan, he said, "I just want to stay here and just keep translating and you keep publishing and you are all going back home, back to Godhead."
Mm-hmm.
And then Ramishra Prabhu asked Prabhupada, he said, "Prabhupada, these books are, you know, high, very high and deep topic. How are we going to distribute?" Prabhupada said, "Give to the masses." He says, "Just distribute to the masses. No discrimination. Everybody should have these books." I mean, it's just mind-blowing. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mercy, Prabhupada's empowering mercy by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This interview yesterday was just getting in my head the whole evening. It's just incredible what they managed to do in 2 months.
Mm.
And you know, Ramishwar, when he's speaking, he's so dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so dramatic. And he cries at the same time. And Driti was 16. Mm. She just left her home in New York. She turns up in Los Angeles. Jadarani says, "Okay, here's a paintbrush. Stop painting." And 2 months, 24/7. Rameshwar, when he saw a painter, they had 13 artists and they had to paint 100 artworks.
Mm-hmm.
And they would fall asleep at the east. Rameshwar would, while they're sleeping, he would take the easel, he would take the painting and look for one of the artists who's not sleeping. Say, "Hey, keep going." He falls asleep, bring it back. The other one wakes up. Whoa.
I did a lot. Not bad.
The face is finished.
Continue in the samadhi.
Then he, at the end, he just burst out crying. He said, him and Radha Vallabha went to the airport to pick up the books that came from Texas for a printer that now is in ecstasy to print all the books. And then they brought from 2 o'clock in the morning, they arrived at the temple at 3:30 in their kami clothes. The pujari said, "You can go on the altar." No shower, no ashram, so they could put the books on the altar. And he said there were 400 devotees at Mangalarti with the curtains open and they saw the Sisi on there. He said no one was touching the floor. Devotees were screaming, crying, dancing, laughing. He said he's never seen anything like it. So when you hear those passing and you know, see this is going out there to the world, amazing.
Yeah, please.
It's just, and Vaisashita is always like, "This is fantastic. This is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So next year we're going to shoot for 100,000 Srimad Bhagavatam sets. We are ready."
Whatever it is, just distribute the books. No. No deviation.
He said we did 32,000 sets, Bhagavatam said, this year. It's all in the mind. If you want to do 100,000, it's possible. It's just you gotta talk to your mind. It will happen. And I have no doubt it will happen. Incredible. So they gotta do a CC marathon coming up from early February until Go Ponim on reading the CC.
Just one Sankirtan story. Once I was doing books in Tel Aviv, distributing door to door. I ring the bell, the rabbi with the, you know, with the camouflage, the whole thing. You know, the long, how you call it? Yeah, the long coat. Everything is like so. And I say, okay, what should I do? I offer him Srila Prabhupada's book. He says, really? I said, yeah. He says, okay, come in. I walk, it's like Hasid top house, like really paka, everything, you know, all the paraphernalia, all the Jewish stuff is there. He calls me inside it's like an office inside, you know, the desk and the whole thing and all the Torah and everything, all the scriptures. And then the lowest drawer there, he opens and he tells me, look. And then I look there, there's a whole set of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah, in English.
No.
Yes. And the guy says, you understand? I say, yeah. He says, okay, bye-bye. And just walks me out, that's it. And he kept it there, like nobody sees, it was hidden. From the family members, I guess, from the wife, but he had it, and I was like, yeah. So it is for the mass distribution, the Hasid rabbi got it in Tel Aviv. Yeah, I think he probably brought it from America.
Yeah.
But otherwise, he brought it. He kept it. It means he had some face.
Jai
Ho. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.